Can a person who believes in God and trusts him for the salvation of his soul expect that God will lay his hand upon him in his everyday affairs? Can a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ expect that God will watch over him day by day? Is the question I want us to think about at this moment. Because a person is a Christian and is believing in God and counts God as his Father, does that mean that the things that happen to him day by day will be any different than they would be with anybody else? In other words, if a person were a Christian, a real Christian, honestly, sincerely serving God, and he was planning to go somewhere to conduct a church service or to teach a Bible class, would it be important for him to make sure that his tires are in good condition? Would he need to watch the road when he is driving, or wouldn't God just take care of him? And if he were driving along and things were happening from time to time, would it do any good to pray to God with reference to what happens there on the highway? Something of an answer to these questions can come up when we watch what happened to Paul as he was taken on a ship from Asia Minor over to Italy, to Rome. And we're reading about this in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, in chapter 27. In the first place, I want you to look at verses 11 to 13, because I want you to see how very normally these things happened. After Paul had given them warning and told them that there was going to be danger if they set sail at that time, that it was getting to be too late in the year, and the weather was going to be bad, and it would be dangerous. In verse 11 we read, Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. And then there follows in the next verse a very interesting explanation. And it'll show you it isn't because he thought that the ship owner was a more honest man and that Paul wasn't honest. But look in verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the harbor wasn't very big, the accommodations weren't good, the more part advised to depart thence also. They weren't thinking about the weather. They were thinking about the harbor, and they didn't want to stay there. They didn't want to spend all winter in that small community, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, a harbor on the island of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. That is, it's on that side of the island. And the idea being that it would be more comfortable over there. And that was the consideration that they had. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Close by meaning over near to the island of Crete. This decision to sail on was a practical decision and was based on what might be called personal preference. The reason I bring this out again here is that you and I might see that many things that affect our lives, many things that happen in our homes, and sometimes things that are done in Sunday school and church, sometimes things that happen in the very church itself, are settled on a practical basis, a matter oftentimes of personal preference. There really it isn't necessary in every single case to expect that just because you are involved, or that the church is involved, or the Sunday school involved, therefore these people were specially spiritually led. That doesn't need to follow. And here the decision to sail on was this practical decision took Paul with them. And it was made not on the basis of even good judgment. It was made on the basis of wishes. I think that expression, when the south wind blew softly, is a classic expression of wishful thinking. People didn't want to stop in that place anyway. They wanted to get to a larger harbor. And then when the wind blew along softly in there that they could use it, they thought this was it, and they started out. And as we go along now, we can ask ourselves, and we see them sailing along, will God watch over his own? And they will see that he does. Let's see how it happened. When we come to verse 14, and read on from verse 14 to 20, that portion in there, we have a report of a storm at sea. This is the way it reads. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, that is, to control it. It was a real difficult thing to control the boat because the wind was strong. Which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I read along through verses 14 to 20, which is a rather routine record of the course of a severe storm at sea. The peril is increasing by the hour, and they are acting like experienced sailors in seeking to bring the ship through safely. They've had to throw cargo overboard. They've had to throw the tackling overboard. And yet it got worse and worse until finally, because of the heavy storm with neither sun showing nor stars, there was no way of checking their position. They were lost at sea. All hope that they should be saved was taken away. In other words, things can get so bad that it just looks hopeless. And by the way, don't forget that on this ship was Paul, a man who really was serving God. And God allowed these things to get this way. While I'm talking about that, I wonder how many of you would recognize the meaning of this if I was to suggest this to you. A Christian person can be living in with a family, and this family is, as a whole, does not particularly live a spiritual life. Most everyone in the family, will say, is doing things just the way they would do them naturally. They make their decisions on a natural basis, and the family makes its decisions and does certain things. The family sells a home in one part of the city and moves to another part, sells a home in one city and moves to another city, goes out of, quits this business and goes into that business. It may be that some person in the home, some wife in the home, has a husband who has just changed jobs and done something else and differently. All these things matter to her, but she has nothing to say about them. She can't control them, and they're happening all the time while she's going along in her life. Would this mean that God is not watching over her? Or would this mean that there is no God for her to turn to? This is what you would find here. Here was a ship at sea and a storm arose and in grave danger. Paul's there, and Paul belongs to God. And we're going to see this now as we go on in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst. I suppose you know what that long abstinence means. After going without food for a long time, doubtless that he might pray more earnestly to God, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. When you're thinking about that, do you have the feeling that Paul shouldn't have mentioned the fact that he'd warned them not to go? You think that this is the frame of mind where a person would say, I told you so, in the midst of this big storm? And I want to tell you, I don't think so. You'd say, why did Paul mention it? Just to keep the record straight. He had told them not to go, and now they were in danger of their lives. Now he's going to tell them something else, and he wants them to listen. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. No matter how severe that storm was, no matter how routine all the purposes and practices of the crew had been, no matter how much Paul had been pulled in and taken along without any question on his part, without any consent or anything, he was a prisoner, and he was just taken along about this. But Paul's not hopeless. They've lost hope. They've decided the storm's so severe they won't come out of it alive. Paul hasn't lost hope. He has been praying to God. No matter how severe the storm and how serious the situation, Paul turns to God. And this is what we get. Now he says, be of good cheer. And he speaks a word of assurance, which is based on his own spiritual assurance. And now let me read on to you the next few verses so that you'll see what this word was that Paul had to say to them. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. What a wonderful thing to be able to bear personal testimony to a personal revelation from God. Something that nobody else knows but you, but something that is actually real and true because it is from God. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Two things are in this statement. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Paul had been told before that this is what is going to happen, that he would get a chance to go to Italy, right to the Caesar's court, and to come get right in touch with the head man of the whole country about the matters of his faith and of his condition. He had been told that he would go there. That's number one. Thou must be brought before Caesar. The reason that that's important is the storm isn't going to be able to stop you. What God's going to do with you, he will do. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like as though he had prayed for them? That he had asked for it? And God had given him all them that sail with him. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And so, in the midst of their darkest hour, when everybody has lost confidence, looks as though there's no hope at all, here's this man who spends time in prayer, steps out before them and says, I tell you, men, things are going to turn out all right, because my God is going to bring this thing out in such a way that it will glorify his name by doing good to us and by keeping us. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us the grace to turn to thee at all times. No matter how routine the day may be, give us the grace to count on thee being involved in our personal affairs so that we can trust in thee at all times. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.